So can I see a show of hands if anybody has never thought about having more money than you have right now? Anybody? Okay. Either you're all being honest or you're not participating. So if you were exceptionally wealthy, is there anybody with whom you would want to share some of your money? The title of my message today is, Are You Serious? And the purpose is to see if you are. Serious about what, you'll have to wait to the end. So imagine you are exceptionally wealthy. Imagine you have a friend with whom you decide to share some of your money. Imagine his name is Michael. And imagine you meet him and you say this. You say, Dear Michael, as you know, I am exceptionally wealthy. I want you to live an abundant life too. So I have decided to give you 1,440 euros today and every day. I only ask this, that you spend it to build a good future and to help others. You're happy because you're a cheerful giver, and Michael's happy because he has the money. The next day you ask Michael the obvious question, what did you do with the 1,440 euros? And you find out that Michael blew it all away. And you think, wow, I thought surely he would spend it wisely and not wastefully. But you're generous and patient, so you can overlook one day of bad decisions. And you give Michael another 1,440 euros. The next day you see Michael and he says, your generosity has changed my life. And you think, he's changed, that's great. So you ask the obvious question, what did you do with the new money? And Michael says, about the same thing I did yesterday. And you think, oh, he blew it all again. In this parable, would you stop giving Michael the money? In this parable, you don't. You keep giving, and you give day after day, week after week, month after month, 1,440 euros a day for a year. You keep giving, and Michael keeps wasting. You keep gently advising, and he keeps gently ignoring your advice. Finally, you and Michael have a serious talk, and you say, Dear Michael, I have given you $525,600 this year. Every day you come back, every day you take the money, and every day you waste it. You are not taking this seriously. And Michael says, that's not true. Just the other day, I gave $15 to somebody that was destitute, and I spent $30 to buy a new Bible. So I'm not wasting at all. And you say what? You say, are you serious? $15 here and $30 there out of half a million. I gave you an incredible opportunity, and you have greatly disappointed me. In that moment of rebuke and regret, Michael says, I'm sorry, I will do better. And for about 2 weeks, Michael does better. Instead of $15 here and $30 there, he spends $60 here and $90 there in a way that is wise and good. But after about 2 weeks, the progress stops. After the emotion of your rebuke and Michael's regret is gone, he's back to his old ways of investing little and wasting much. So would you still keep giving the money? In this parable, you do. But year two isn't much different. And why is it not different? It's not different because Michael knows that every day another 1,440 euros will be in his hand. And the result is another year wasted, another 500,000 euros mostly wasted. So you meet Michael at the end of year two and you say, "Dear Michael, I must warn you. In a few years from now, I think very bad economic times are coming, and I urge you to prepare by spending with care the money that I give you before the bad times come." And knowing Michael, he says what? He says, "I'm sorry, I will do better." Year three, what do you think has happened? The emotion of your rebuke wore off. Only the beginning signs of economic turmoil are showing, and Michael didn't change how he spends the money. He blew another $500,000 and has very little to show for it. So if this was real, how are you feeling at the end of 3 years? If it's me, I am not happy. You keep giving and Michael keeps wasting. And he does this for 3 years straight. And imagine, at the beginning of year four, Michael comes to you and he holds out his hand and he says, "Where's the money?" And you would say, "Are you serious? I should ask you, where's the money? I gave and you wasted. I advised and warned and you ignored my advice and warning. And you expect me to continue to give you 1,440 euros every day, no matter what you do with it. You cannot be serious." And Michael says, "You have given, and I have wasted. You have advised and warned, and I have ignored. But now I beg you, give me one more chance." Being generous and long-suffering, you say what? You say, "Okay, one last chance. If this year you will not use wisely what I gave you, you will no longer be my friend, and I will no longer give you anything ever again." Someone once said, "Don't tell me what your priorities are. Show me how you spend your money, and I'll tell you what your priorities are." And as you probably guessed, the parable is not about money. It's about time. And instead of 1,440 euros every day, God gives us 1,440 minutes every day. More than 500,000 real perishable minutes every year. In our parable, Michael spends very few of those wisely and wastes the rest. And we are unimpressed. But what about you and I? Have we ever let a week of days, a month of days, slip by without doing anything of real lasting value? And then we hold out our hand in the morning and say, "Give me the money. Give me the time." And we expect the time to keep rolling in. We don't have to spend this minute too carefully or this day too carefully because we know tomorrow we'll get another 1,440 minutes. We don't say this, but do we act like it? Remember the quote, "Don't tell me what your priorities are. Show me how you spend your money and your time, and I'll tell you what your priorities are." So how should we think about time? In Luke 13, verse 6 through 9, Luke 13, verse 6 through 9, "The Luke 13, verse 6. And a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? And he answered and said to him, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Does it matter if a fig tree has figs on it? For a fig tree, that is the all-important question. That's what a fig tree is for. But of course, the parable is not about figs, it's about us. Are we bearing a reasonable amount of fruit in a reasonable amount of time? And for a serious Christian, this is the all-important question. Another verse I'll read for you, you don't have to turn there, is John 15:2. John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Matthew 25, you also don't need to turn there, but that's the parable of talents. And the master gives his servants talents, money, 5 to 1 talents to another. And when the master comes back to settle accounts, what does he expect? He expects they will have gained from the time and the money that he gave them. To the good stewards, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. To the one who was not a good steward, he says, cast him away. Why does he take up the ground? Luke 12:48, you don't need to turn there. Luke 12:48 sums up the principle this way. Everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. Do any of us doubt that those of us sitting here keeping the feast have been given much? What else could God do for us? Not long ago, Melissa and I were shopping, and I started to feel dizzy, and my heart started pounding, and I thought I was not going to exist in about 30 seconds. And it takes an amazingly short period of time to think about the people you're going to miss, the things you didn't do, the sins that you didn't fully repent of. And all you can think is, I wish I had more time. But the Bible tells us not to wait for a sudden catastrophic event to be serious about time. 1 Peter 4, verse 17. Says, for the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. The time has come. Also Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. Should be our last verse, Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. So if the time has come, what should we be doing? Ephesians 5:15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. At the beginning, I asked you to raise your hands. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands again. Who here does not intend tomorrow morning to reach out their hand and ask for another 1,440 minutes? And the next day, and the next day. Should God give it to you? Are you and I like the friend in the parable who takes the money, the time, for granted? Or are we becoming better and better at spending time to do redeeming things? 1,440 precious and valuable imperishable minutes. In other words, are you serious? Brethren, if God places another 1,440 minutes in our hands tomorrow and the next day and the next day, let it be said of us that we did not squander them, but valued and invested them wisely, so that he can say of us, well done, good and faithful servant.